This is Paul Jindrasiak for Sunday Morning Town Square, and I'm joined by Diana Seeger. She's from the Grand Rapids Community Foundation. How are you doing this morning, Diana?
I'm doing great. It's a great day.
Absolutely. So I think many know the name Grand Rapids Community Foundation, and they're familiar with the historic Anheuser-Busch Ice House building on Oaks that you're in. But what exactly is the role of the Community Foundation in the city?
Well, we have been in existence for 91 years, and while important that that history is, I think what we are most excited about is the future, not only of the Community Foundation, but its impact in the community and working with many diverse audiences. In our role, what we do is that we receive support from a variety of sources, and we grow what we call an endowment, which is essentially a nest egg or a savings account for our community. And we provide funding for a variety of programs and projects in and around the area, including health and human services, arts and culture, environment, economic and community development. You know, anything you can imagine, we've been involved in. So, and I also like to say that we are leading the community in a number of efforts, and so we pretty much get involved in many things, but and I would say we select those things in a strategic sense. But that's essentially what we're in existence to do.
So, when you say the selection process, how does that work?
Well, essentially, an area that we've been extremely committed to in the course of the last few years is the whole area of community development.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about the development and the growth in the around the wealthy street corridor out in on the near west side, there's some vibrancy is really growing with regard to Leonard Street and Bridge Street. The whole Plainfield corridor and the Creston neighborhood, as well as the whole area at Cherry and Diamond and Lake Drive. So, you know, what we're really hoping and have done is to not necessarily gentrify areas, but to really provide the opportunity for small business development and then reaching into the neighborhoods to really improve affordable housing and many options for people who are living in the areas described. But, you know, that's been something that we've been really committed to and partners with many in and around the community because, as you know, Paul, these days no one organization can do it alone.
Right. Now, you said 91 years. That's a long time. What planted the seeds for the Community Foundation?
Well, essentially, it was a gentleman, interestingly enough, who owned a pharmaceutical, was a pharmaceutical salesman. He owned a pharmaceutical company, and which may seem like, well, okay. And, well, this gentleman was poised to go down to Indianapolis, Indiana, where Eli Lilly has their headquarters, and probably was meeting with various vendors down there, and caught wind of something called the Indianapolis Foundation at that time. And he thought, well, this is a great idea. And community foundations at that time really weren't known as community foundations. They were just known as whatever city and then the word foundation afterward. In fact, for many years up until the mid-90s, we were the Grand Rapids Foundation.
Okay.
And anyway, so he thought, well, this is a great idea. In other words, when people are wanting to leave gifts to their area for the places where they've lived and worked for all these years, well, this may not be a bad idea. So not unlike what we would do today, Lee Hutchins, this gentleman, came back up to Grand Rapids and met with the folks at the then-known the Association of Commerce, which is now known as the Chamber of Commerce. And they formed a committee, and over the course of a summer, they developed the plans for creating the Grand Rapids Foundation. And thought it was a great idea just to really bring a pool of money that can go out and support a number of really viable, wonderful projects to help this community grow. So quite a vision for 1922, I'd say.
Absolutely.
You know, and so that's how it started.
Now, I think a lot of people hear the word philanthropy and they think, oh, you need to be super rich. But how can someone in our community help make a difference by contributing to the community foundation?
You know, I think that one of the best examples of growing philanthropy and growing philanthropists is a group of young people we have been working with each and every year for about the last 16 years. It's called our Youth Grant Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And and it's pretty competitive to get on this committee, but essentially it's a group of about 30 high school students who meet for about twice a month, and they learn about what are the needs in the community, and then they send out requests for proposals to area organizations and receive those requests, and they go through what can be a pretty arduous task of deciding who should receive a grant and who may not receive a grant. And so they're learning how to be good grant makers at a very young age and distribute about $50,000 to $60,000 a year in that process. One of the things that we really pride ourselves on is really trying to encourage people of any amount of money they may have to start working with the community foundation. It doesn't matter if it's $25, $25,000. And or above, you know, we just want people to become involved with us and engage with us and help make a difference for the many key organizations in and around the greater Grand Rapids area.
Now, I know you presently have a program with the Grand Rapids Public School System called Challenge Scholars. What's the goal of that program?
Well, the goal of that program is to really encourage students who may not have the same opportunities as others in other neighborhoods or communities. And essentially, what we're trying to do in starting an elementary school is to create, and our program is in three schools, and it's Harrison Park Elementary School, which is a kindergarten to eighth grade school on the near west side, and then onward to Westwood Middle and Union High School on the west side. And surprisingly enough, this program it's been in existence for 2 years. And what we've done at Harrison Park, you think to yourself, okay, now how am I going to create a college-going culture? Well, the first year we did a lot of things like having representatives from area colleges and universities come and visit with students, and we still do that. A lot of wonderful things like banners and T-shirts and things like that, and helping students and their families understand the importance of going on to college pursuing more of a certification in a skilled trades area, because not all students are ready for nor can appreciate going on to college. So, you know, that was kind of the beginnings. Well, now we're really getting serious about the fact of, okay, really, what does it take? So we've brought in the 2 years ago a coordinator who really works with mom and dad and all members of the family as well as the students to understand the importance of education as they go through elementary school and then onward up through the upper grades, but the importance of continuing on after they graduate from high school. Also, a literacy coach and a math coach. What's happened is the principal at Harrison Park is a great, great gentleman. His name is Mike Nasser, and they started an algebra class, completely optional for students who are in the, like maybe even fifth and sixth grade, just to whet their appetite with regard to really hone in on critical thinking skills and something that isn't generally taught in an elementary school. Mm-hmm. So really challenging students. But here's the key. The key is, or two key things, is that we have been participating for the last 8 years in a program called the Kent School Services Network, which is bringing health and human services to school-based sites. And now we're the county and many other nonprofit organizations are offering services throughout a number of school districts, starting, and we started this at the Grand Rapids Public Schools. Well, Harrison Park has a Kent School Services Network site. And so what we're trying to do there is to eliminate or at least reduce the stress in a family with regard to things like any health clinic visits, reducing the whole the barrier that families may have with trying to get transportation to make medical appointments or other appointments, and working with a Department of Human Services caseworker and a coordinator who can bring those services and to the school itself without the family really being under stress to do that.
Okay.
Which relieves the student to be able to walk into a classroom with not having all that stress on their shoulders ready to learn. But the key thing also is the fact that we're going to replicate that at the middle school as well as at Union High School. But the carrot in all of this is that we are going to, once a student, and we're going to have the sixth grade class next year sign something called a promise pact with their parents. And what that is that they'll stay in school, that they'll work hard, and that when they graduate from Union High School, they will be eligible to receive what we call a last dollar scholarship for their college education, meaning we'll help them find, you know, the Pell Grants, other scholarship funds, and anything that's left in the offing as far as, you know, any balance, we will cover that expense so that the financial barrier to going on to any post-high school education is removed.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So that's what the crux of that is.
Sure. Now, in addition to that, what are some of the other present projects, initiatives, and investment that the foundation is currently involved in?
You know, we're looking at now something called program-related investments, and ultimately we're going to be, I hope, moving toward mission-related investments. And what that is, you know, when you think about or you read about organizations receiving a grant from a foundation or from the federal government or whatever, you know, that's money that an organization does not have to pay back. They receive that money in order to follow through on the promise of what their program is going to be doing. What are the outcomes? What we're finding is that over the course of the last 10 years, many foundations have started to do things, in addition to making grants, of providing what we call program-related investments, which means that we take the assets of our endowment and we put that toward a particular project or program expecting a return on that investment in terms of what I would say below market rate interest rates, but that the organization will need to pay that back.
Okay.
And so we're kind of moving into interesting times with looking at other ways to invest in the community. And that's not what I would say terribly sparkly when you're listening to this on the radio, but it is, you know, kind of a new venture. But one of the things that we've really been investing in and are excited about, Paul, is the downtown market, which is the outside market is set to open in May.
Right.
And the inside of the market is set to open hopefully sometime before the fall. So that's an example of really a thing that we're really excited about and that we've been huge supporters to of the Fulton Street Farmers Market. And so what we're interested in is bringing in fresh food, quality food, and also making that food accessible to all, not mm-hmm. just persons who have the ability of driving in from outside of the city of Grand Rapids into the market, but also to surrounding neighborhoods. So we're very concerned about access, diversity, and inclusion.
Oh, fantastic. Now, earlier I mentioned the building you're in, the historic Anheuser-Busch Ice House building. I know folks are fascinated by that building. What's some of the history of it?
You know, I love this building. Each and every day I walk into this building, I just am so grateful, and I don't say that to be corny. I really am.
Sure.
And I first noticed this building about 2006, and then when Sam Cummings and a partner of his bought the building in the January 2007, they completely gutted it with the hopes of turning it into like a mini Bob, you know. But we put an offer into this building because it was structurally very sound. And we felt it was pivotal in terms of being an anchor in the arena district to help the arena district really continue to grow and prosper. And the history of the building was that in the early 1900s when it was built specifically to be Anheuser-Busch's corporate offices in St. Louis wanted to build ice houses around the country in order to store their beer.
Okay.
And not necessarily have regional breweries. So they would by train ship barrels of beer up to their ice houses, including this one, and have this be kind of a distribution point where those barrels of beer would then be distributed to, probably known back then, the beer gardens. And
okay.
But then when the prohibition hit, that kind of put an end to it being the storer of beer, if you will. But I love that history and the fact that since that time, the wonderful family owned the building for about 35 years for a chemical cleaning company, the Burge Chemical Company, and they gave us a whole book on the history of this building. So we're sitting in a great place.
Fantastic. And so folks who want to get more information on the Community Foundation, how can they get that?
They can go to our website, which is grfoundation.org. They can also call us at area code 616-454-1751. And we also are on Twitter and on Facebook and all the social media sites. There's great access to some great information, and we're really wanting to hear from people and learn what people really want to see happening in this community.
Wonderful. This is Paul Jindrzejczyk for Sunday Morning Town Square, and I've been joined by Diana Seeger from the Grand Rapids Community Foundation. Thank you so much for joining me, Diana.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.